You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hi, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 105. The last show was titled 10 Things About New Orleans That I'm Grateful For. These are things that have been on my mind as I was working on the Beyond Bourbon Street travel guide, and I was thinking about the end of 2019. If you missed it, go back and give it a listen. I think you'll enjoy it, and you'll find some ideas for your own exploration of the city. Today's show was inspired by a single question from my dental hygienist. Shout out to GNO Dentistry, by the way. She knows about the podcast, and while I was sitting there, she asked me, "You know, if you had to recommend one thing to do in the city right now, beyond Bourbon Street, what would it be? What one thing would you recommend to do in New Orleans right now?" It kind of threw me at first, but I thought about it for a few seconds, and I came up with the answer you'll hear about today. Her response to it was, "I've never gotten that answer, but it makes sense and I love it." So with that as a tease, and before we jump in, I want to tell you about one of our sponsors that makes the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast possible. Please don't skip this one because I think it's worth your time. Two Chicks Walking Tours. I talk about them often, and it's because I love the tours offered by Two Chicks Walking Tours. But as much as the tours themselves, I appreciate the way my friend Christine Miller has built her business. Christine loves and cares about her customers, the people she works with, and the city of New Orleans. If you're listening to this podcast, it's a good bet that you love New Orleans. And if so, give yourself the gift of exploring the city on a Two Chicks Walking Tour. Their tours are small, they're intimate, and they're a fun way to get to know New Orleans better. Marie and I went on their Garden District tour a while back, and we loved hearing about the history, the architecture, and the residents, both past and present. I'm in the Garden District daily, and I see tours with 20, 25, or more participants huddled around the guide. Every time I see that, I wish those people had chosen a Two Chicks tour instead. By the way, Lafayette Cemetery in the Garden District is closed indefinitely for repairs. So if New Orleans cemeteries pique your interest, try the Two Chicks tour of St. Louis No. 1. But whatever you choose, know you're going to be in great hands and you're going to have a wonderful time. The team at Two Chicks is continually learning more about New Orleans, which means the tours are constantly evolving. Use code BEYOND and save 15% over at twochickswalkingtours.com. All right, with that, let's jump into the discussion. So the question from the dental hygienist, what one thing would I recommend? And my answer is the sculpture garden in City Park. I mentioned it on the last show as one of the 10 things that I'm grateful for in New Orleans right now. But it's my number one pick right now, and I'm going to use this episode to tell you why. I also thought that I was going to do it in a slightly different way. So if I sound different than I typically do, it's because I am standing in the sculpture garden right now, and I'm going to walk around and talk to you a little bit about the sculpture garden and why I think it's my number one pick. So when you come into the sculpture garden, the first thing that hits me is that you're in a little pine forest, and that's unusual because most of the park is made up of live oak trees, some of which are 900 years old. The sculpture garden recently at least doubled in size. And so the reason it's my number one pick is that the garden in and of itself is beautiful. It's shaded. I'm going to walk around and talk a little bit about it, although I'm no art expert. But I would pick it as my number one attraction because it appeals to so many people. It's great for kids. It's great for older people, younger people. It's great for people who just want to be in nature. Maybe you want to get away from the hustle and bustle. And it's also a wonderful jumping off point. And we'll talk a little bit as we go about how you would get here and why I think, while I'm calling it my number one pick, it's because there are so many other things you can do around the sculpture garden and on your way to or from the sculpture garden. So as we walk around, in no particular order, I really enjoy when you come into the garden and you go to the left, you cross a bridge, and there's a really interesting statue. It's silver. I'm not sure if it's made out of silver. And it's basically almost like the reverse of the Little Russian nesting dolls, where you have a man standing up, and then on top of him is another man squatting and another man squatting, and it just kind of goes up into a narrow point. And as you wander the garden, even when it's crowded, and it's not that crowded today, there's lots of places to sit and just kind of contemplate. You're surrounded by lots of native New Orleans plants and animals. So there's palmetto trees. There's a live oak right in front of me with moss hanging. And I'm certainly not going to describe everything that I see, but one of the exhibits that I've come up on, it's called Window with a Ladder, Too Late for Help. It's from 2006, and it's an aluminum ladder up to a window. And so it conjures up, it was done by an Argentinian. It always makes me think of Katrina and trying to help people as the waters rose. And again, it's kind of surrounded or right underneath an oak tree. Right across it is a French statue called Pablo Casals' Obelisk. And it's made out of copper, but what it appears to be is violins or perhaps other instruments that are sliced in half and built up. Again, the actual artwork isn't the thing that pulls me in, although it may be for you, but it's the ability to explore and to see lots of outdoor sculpture, lots of modern art, lots of different inspirations, and you're in City Park. And so this first part has been here for many years. We've taken our kids here a bunch. It's a great place for photo ops under the trees or with the artwork. It's surrounding a lagoon. They have sometimes live theater here. Sometimes they do movies where they'll blow up like a movie screen. So there's a lot to see here. There's a lot to pique the curiosity. My kids just came on a field trip here, but I think again it's good for adults or kids. As you walk, and I'm doing this live, so I'm walking. You're going to hear the noises. You're going to hear me breathing as I'm walking. As you come past and around the initial entrance, and you kind of meander around it, the back of the original garden is where sometimes there's live theater performances. It's a nice walkway, so even if you just want to walk, there's a statue here that is somewhat reminiscent of the Bean in Chicago. So if you've seen that stainless steel Bean, there's a structure here that's almost the inverse of that. It's a rectangle, and it is concave, and you can see your reflection in it. I don't see the title. It must be right near here, so I'm going to check. It's called... it's called Untitled, and it was made in 1997. It's stainless steel, so there you go. It's a fun, my kids love to kind of pose, and it's sort of like a funny mirror, right? You can make all kinds of reflections in it, and it's pretty neat. It's got a little garden around it. Some of the sides, two sides are concave, the rest are just polished so that, you know, you can take a picture of yourself. In fact, I might do that right now while I'm talking, just so that you can get a sense of it. But I just like, I know nothing about art formally, but I like being able to come in here and just see the different things. And it's peaceful, and that's certainly a nice respite. Let's say you've been running around New Orleans or the Quarter, or maybe you're here for Mardi Gras and you are with kids or with people that just need a break. Well, this is a wonderful place to take a break. As you wander into the back, there's more of a grassy area. Again, when our kids were real little, they would run around back here. I think there might have been an Easter egg hunt in here one year. But there's just all kinds of art. I'm passing one by a Japanese-born artist. And then you get to this back with kind of an open-air area. There's a couple things back here my kids really like. There's one that is a safety pin that's really large. I would say it's 18 feet tall, maybe. And right across from it is a man, I guess, who's kind of squatting, and he's made out of letters. So the children love that as they were learning their letters. There's a giant spider, which is both creepy and intriguing, underneath an oak tree. And then there's one of those love... Those of you a certain age will remember the love stamps, where it was all in red and the O was tilted. So I think there, again, might be one in Chicago. But there is one of those here, and that's pretty neat. I'm going to take a couple pictures while we're walking. And excuse the heavy breathing, but you're getting the immersive effect here. This is a good area to just run around. You often see people on a picnic blanket reading or relaxing, or relaxing while the kids run around. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this. I'm going to take a picture of the love sculpture so that I can share that online with you. It's a beautiful day here, so you get that in the background. This is done by Robert Indiana. And again, I know that there are at least one other of these in the world. The other thing back here, again, when my kids were little, you've probably seen the Rodrigue Blue Dog. Rodrigue was a Louisiana artist who passed away several years ago. And this particular blue dog, George Rodrigue, is tri-colored and has three sides. So he has the traditional blue dog side, but then he has a yellow side, and I'm walking around it, maybe you can tell, and then he has a red side. And my children, who had only seen the blue before they came here, could spend, gosh, it seemed like a half an hour wandering around it and around and around it. But it's intriguing. So this part is really neat. One of the things that they've done that is different is they have several entrances. It used to be you could only come in and exit the sculpture garden from one side, but that's not true now. And that kind of gets me to why this is my number one pick. As you're going to hear as we continue, and I'm going to find a bench and sit here for a moment, the garden itself is great. But the reason it's my number one pick is because it's a great destination. So if you are staying downtown, let's say, in the French Quarter, or perhaps at our sponsor hotel, the old number 77 in the Warehouse District, you could hop on the red streetcar line, the Canal streetcar line. Make sure that you take the extension that comes to City Park. So it would dead end right at the front of City Park until you get the experience of riding the streetcar. On the way here along that route, you would, among other things, pass Venetia's, which is a great old school kind of Sicilian Italian place, which in New Orleans means a pretty sweet red gravy or red sauce. Good place for Italian food or pizza. Right a couple doors down is Angelo Bricata's, which has been in business for over 100 years, and it's an Italian bakery. They have terrific cannoli, spumoni, all kinds of Italian desserts. They have gelato. So you could do that. If you wanted a more adult experience, across the street from that little strip where those are is a place called Revel. Revel doesn't look like much, but the bartender and owner there is quite acclaimed, and not only can make you a terrific cocktail, but can tell you the history of that cocktail and the history of cocktails in New Orleans. So that's definitely worth a stop. Kind of in the same area, you could stop at the shop of a former guest of mine, Kristen Malone's Home Malone, which is a neat place with offerings by all sorts of Louisiana and Gulf Coast makers and artists. Right next to it is Mid-City Books. Right down the street from that, In Season, they're currently closed as I record this in January, but they'll be back in March or April, is Pandora's Snowballs, which is, gosh, probably a top five snowball stand in the city. If you want something a little bit more upscale, is Toop's Meadery. Really good Cajun food. Really good for lunch, too. They have a terrific burger. In the evening, they have all of the meats are terrific. Any of the specials are terrific. They have a good duck there at Toop's. Across the street from there is Blue Oak Barbecue, which I love. New Orleans, for many, many years, was certainly not a place I would consider a barbecue city. But there are a handful of places that are terrific now that you could take sort of a barbecue tour of the city. And Blue Oak would be one of those stops for me. They have great brisket. I like that you can get thin brisket or lean or fatty. I always get the fatty. Don't tell Marie. Really good and has nice outdoor seating. So the reason I bring that up is if you're going to come to the sculpture garden, you can take the streetcar and you can get that experience. You can eat along the way, a full meal, or get a dessert. You can stop and check out a couple things. You can come to the New Orleans Museum of Art, which is right next to the Sculpture Garden. Really, really a neat museum with rotating exhibits as well as some permanent exhibits. Once you're here in the back of the Sculpture Garden, if you didn't want to explore the whole thing, we're right next to, there's a botanical garden here. We are just a few steps away from something called City Putt. So, you know, in your part of the world, it might be Goofy Golf or Putt-Putt, but it's called City Putt. Sophia and I, one of my girls, we were just here this weekend. There's two courses, 18 holes each. One is focused on New Orleans, so every hole tells you a little history and story about New Orleans. And the other course, adjacent course, is more broadly about Louisiana. So it tells you about the different parts of the state. And it's really well done. It's kind of a good educational thing while you're having fun with the kids. I'm also looking to my left as I sit here. Not far from City Putt is Storyland, which is based on fables that many of us grew up with. It's a little park. There's a tiny amusement park that's suitable for kids, I would say, up to about age, 12. There's a little roller coaster. You can take a train ride through City Park. There's some typical amusement rides. Again, as I'm sitting here in the opposite direction across the parking lot is what New Orleanians call the casino or the old casino. It never actually housed a casino, but it's always been called that. And in that building, you can get beignets. So it has a location of Café du Monde. So you can get your beignets and café au lait. And right next to it, if you have young kids, is a really great playground. So you can let them run off their beignets. And you can eat outside. So we find that very helpful when you bring twin 8-year-olds to have beignets. It can get a little messy. We can eat outside, just kind of wipe them off and let them go burn off some of that sugar. Right behind, and I covered a lot of this in an early episode. I want to say it was around 33, but I'll look it up and put it in the show notes about City Park. Right behind where you can get the beignets, you cross a little bridge over a lagoon, and you are in the oldest grove of oak trees in the park and in the New Orleans area. Many, many of them are 500-600 years old, and the oldest are somewhere between 850 and 900 years old. It's a great section for taking pictures or family photos, although the Sculpture Garden where I'm sitting is great for that too. And so now that I have caught my breath, I'm going to continue on. Again, so the reason I picked this is maybe a little deceiving. The space in and of itself is just wonderful. It's peaceful. It's neat. There's a lot of different aspects to it. But it's also the coming here and going would make a perfect day or a morning or an afternoon as you come to visit. And of course, you could be listening to this at any time, but I'm recording it in January of 2020. And so many of you are making plans to come for Mardi Gras or Jazz Fest or French Quarter Fest. And at some point, you might want a break. And this is a perfect break. It's a change of pace. Even when it's crowded, it's not crowded by French Quarter standards. And even on a day, today is a little bit warm. In fact, I think we've set a record for January. It's about 75 degrees, and it's not terrible. And of course, you're under the oak trees. They really did a nice job. Before Katrina, the little lagoon here was small and kind of stale or stagnant, and they've done a nice job of cleaning that up. One of the things, so this was really nice. It was relatively small, but it was popular. Well, now what they've done is they've extended it towards Lake Pontchartrain, and that has probably doubled the space. And so now it goes where it used to be just adjacent to the New Orleans Museum of Art. Now it runs behind the Museum of Art. And one of the really neat things is it's a bridge of sorts. Again, I'm going to try to take a picture of this, and I'll post some of this in our Facebook group as well as in the show notes, which will be over at beyondbourbonst.com/105. One of the things they've done is they have built a walkway that as you go down it, it is bringing the water level higher and higher next to you, if that makes any kind of sense at all. And I have a recorder, a microphone, a backpack, headset, and now I'm trying to record with the phone, and people are looking at me like I'm nuts. But it's interesting because you are walking down into the water, if you will, or right next to it in a bridge of sorts or a walkway, and the water's getting higher and higher next to you. And it's just a really interesting perspective. For me, and I don't know if this is why it was done, for me, it gives you the perspective of the city itself and so much of New Orleans being below sea level, and the fact that you have to walk up to get to the Mississippi River. That's always interested me and fascinated me about our city. And you kind of take that for granted when you live here. But this idea of walking up to the river puts the city in perspective. And so I'm doing that now. They've expanded this lagoon. And now you take this path, so you go down. And I am, gosh, I'm 5 feet nine, and it probably at the deepest point is hitting me about chest level. And then as you come to the newest part of the sculpture garden, it begins to, the path you're on goes up, so you are coming up higher or out of the water, if you will. Again, I hope you like this approach. You can hear some of the noise, the cords rattling a little bit, but you can maybe also hear some of the background. I just really wanted to experience it as I was telling you about it. So then you come to this new area, and I would say, whereas the beginning part seems to be statues made more out of stone and bronze and other metals, when you get back here, it seems even more modern. So the very first thing you come to is a sculpture made out of glass and stainless steel. It sort of looks like a purple glass helix. And again, I'll do the best I can to take a one-handed picture here. It's pretty neat. Today is a day that's kind of moderately sunny, but the way that these little pieces of glass or bricks of glass are stacked into this helix, when the sun hits it, it kind of sparkles and reflects in different ways. And there's a sort of an offshoot of a path that invites you to circle around a live oak tree that's really dripping in Spanish moss. And it's not undifferent from many of the oak trees in New Orleans. But one of the things that's amazing, or that I really enjoy, is this is an oak tree where the limbs are so long that they actually come down and touch the ground, and then in some cases go back up. So again, if you're thinking about pictures, or you just want to see the uniqueness of the Spanish moss, it's pretty unique. And you're in just this beautifully landscaped area. I'm now coming around to what appears to be some sort of orange statue of a woman, maybe grabbing her head. I know the kids were kind of enthralled with this. There's also this red or pink box. It's like a glass box within a box. The kids could not get enough of it. They were also a little bit disappointed that they couldn't get in it. Probably a good thing that they couldn't, but they couldn't. This part is more manicured, again, has lots of places to sit. As I'm wandering back here, I also see one of the newer things in the park is that the Children's Museum, which used to be downtown on Julia Street in the Warehouse District, has moved out to City Park. It's much larger, and that has enabled it to blend in the outdoors and the indoors. So their goal was to be able to put it in a place that kids could experience some of the uniqueness of New Orleans in terms of lagoons and wildlife and those sorts of things. And they've done that quite well. And so I'm looking at that right now. You can see that. Lots of walking paths. And this part, it's interesting. This part is there's many more people back here than there were in the front. Lots more water and bridges. There's a glass bridge you can walk across. There's several sort of lawns where the kids can run around or you can relax and read a book. And again, you're surrounded by the oak trees. Again, the thing that the reason this is my number one pick now is we've talked about getting here. You could spend as much or as little time as you want in here, and then you could go in the New Orleans Museum of Art or do some of the other things that I mentioned. If you listen to the episode I referred to about City Park a while back, you know that there was a lot of work done here during the WPA in the 30s, and there are lots of interesting remnants of that. There, Enrique Alferez, I hope I'm saying that right, lots of statues that he did and lots of little marks that he did on the park benches. Right now I'm crossing a glass bridge that is called Mississippi Meanders. It is, let's see, laminated tempered glass. And I'm going to read this to you. In the 1940s, the Louisiana Geological Survey hired a team of geologists led by Harold Fisk to identify the changes to the course of the river since its modern meander belt was formed 7,000 years ago. The report featured color-coded maps that identified 20 bands of the historic deltaic cycles. The imagery embedded in this bridge derives from the Fisk maps and depicts the bands closest to New Orleans. So when you walk over this, and again, it's a bridge, so it's set over water, what you get to see are sort of the shifts in the Mississippi River. It's also fascinating. There's a book about the Great Flood of 1927 that I should interview that author sometime. And the idea really dating back to this Fisk report and afterwards was man's attempt to control the river and all the unintended consequences in the years since we've done that. As you cross this, I'm looking at a WPA bridge that in fact has one of those reliefs built into it that I just mentioned. So as you come across this, there's this sort of like, I don't know, room of statues that are all little upright blades of mirrors, I guess. So as you walk through them, it sort of scatters your reflection. I know that my kids really like that. As you come around that, there is a new addition to the sculpture garden that is an indoor facility. So for one thing, it has a bathroom, always handy because you're a little bit at this point, probably a quarter of a mile, maybe a little bit more from the entrance, from the main entrance. And it doesn't have a lot in it right now, but it is built for rotating displays. And right now it has a couple of Mardi Gras Indian suits. So I think in episode 13 we did a whole thing about Mardi Gras Indians, and so you can see some of their suits up close. There's a docent there, so they can answer some questions for you if you just need to get out of the heat. I don't remember if they sell snacks there, but there's certainly some tables. So if you've brought a backpack, it's a good place to sit and take a break and, you know, explore. So the other thing, again, I mentioned, and I'm gonna jump in here and say, you can get here from downtown. Certainly if you took a Lyft, it's about a 10-minute ride. If you took a streetcar, it would be longer, but it would be enjoyable. And it's probably a good moment to stop and recognize my partner, the old number 77 Hotel. You've heard me talk about them before. They're located at 535 Chapatoulas Street in the heart of the Warehouse District, but just three blocks from the French Quarter. And if you were going to take the streetcar to come up here, just two blocks or so, three blocks from Canal Street, where you could catch the streetcar. And I love their location because it's easy to get to and from there. They have an award-winning restaurant. Chef Nina Compton's Compère Le Pen is there in the hotel. I like that the rooms are varied. So they have these indoor rooms with very little to no light. So if you've been out all night, enjoying yourself or maybe at a football game or enjoying Bourbon Street and you want to sleep in a little late, an interior room makes perfect sense. They also have these artist loft suites that are curated by New Orleans artists and include local art. The amenities, the honor bar all have Louisiana products in them. I recently have spent a little time working in, they have an artist in residence program, and so they have an art studio with a loft bed that I got to tell you is probably not the best for a 49-year-old, But for a younger artist in residence, it's great because the bed is out of the way and underneath it is a working space, and then the rest of the room is dedicated to easels and places to store art gear. And they invite an artist in at least one per summer, I think for a 30-day stay. They do a couple a year if they can. They provide all the supplies, and it's just a great space. And again, I've talked about it before. What I love is their commitment to art and artists and makers and New Orleans, and all of that comes together in the hotel. If you book there and you use the code BBOLD77, you can save 25% off of their room rates. Plus, you get a credit for $10 at their coffee bar in the lobby. It's called Tootla. So as you're heading out in the morning, you can get a cup of coffee on your way out. They sell things by local makers, many of whom have been on this show. Chop Industries, Home Alone, I mentioned, Lionheart Prints, all kinds of makers. They have a little art gallery run by a local cooperative called Where Your Art. So the gallery is free. It's kind of an L-shaped hallway. It changes three or four times a year, and it highlights an artist's perspective on New Orleans. I just really love it, and I love that it is a great place to get some rest and be just outside the French Quarter, but easy to hop on the streetcars or wander into the quarter or go see the museums or anything you might want to do. So again, check them out. But getting back to the sculpture garden, the other thing about it is once you're here, let's say you want to go check out the original route when Bienville and Iberville were exploring this area, and then they decided that this was going to be where they were going to put New Orleans. You've heard about in past episodes with Richard Campanella talking about the Bienville's dilemma and the strategic importance of where they put the city. Well, one of the main things was that you could get to the city, you could come up the river from the Gulf of Mexico, and it meanders, and it's about 95 miles, or you could take a back way that would take you into Barataria Bay and then Lake Catherine and Lake Bourne into Lake Pontchartrain, which is really an estuary. But that gets you to Bayou St. John. And Bayou St. John would take you to an old portage area that the Indians used, a portage route. And then you could go about 3/4 of a mile and get to the present day site of the French Quarter, of the original New Orleans on the Mississippi River. And so when you are here in the sculpture garden, you can walk right across the street and go to Bayou St. John and essentially retrace or at least envision what would have happened when they came in that way much quicker into the city to get to the original heart of the city. It's a wonderful place to explore. On Esplanade Avenue is St. Louis Cemetery number 3, which many of you have heard me talk about is my favorite cemetery in the city. For one, it's because my maternal grandparents are buried there. But it's also known as the Cemetery of Angels because of the statuary, so many of which are angels and quite elaborate. It's also a cemetery that's not as crowded as some of the others. It doesn't require a tour guide like St. Louis Cemetery number 1 does, although you can take a tour there. So there's great opportunity to, there's a lot of local chefs and people in the culinary world buried there, as well as a former mayor or two. I think it also gives you a good depiction and understanding of how we bury our dead that is above the ground. In many cases, it looks like little shotgun houses. And so you've come here, you've come to the sculpture garden, you can do all these things in the park, you can go just across Bayou St. John, and you can check out St. Louis Cemetery number 3. There's a blue bridge, it's called the Cabrini Bridge. That's a pretty neat, picturesque place to just hang out right on the bayou. You can get views of downtown from there. Right near there, there's some terrific little places to eat. Café Degas is one of my favorite spots, particularly for a Saturday or Sunday morning brunch. Not far is a little tiny place called Lola, that's also excellent. There's some coffee shops right there. There's a little market called Kenseko's, which is always good to run in and get some fruit or refreshments there. All of that is very close to the fairgrounds where the horses run, but also where it's the site of the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. So again, if you were coming to Jazz Fest and you just needed a break one day, or you were going to go in late or leave early, you could wander across the street here and come check out the sculpture garden. Again, there's just so much to do right here. And then, if that wasn't enough, you can go out the side entrance, the City Park Avenue entrance to the park. So the park is obviously much bigger than the sculpture garden. But you could go out on that side and go to Ike's Snowballs, which is probably a half mile, three quarters of a mile walk, but a nice walk. It's one of my kids' three favorite snowball places. It's open most of the year, if not year-round. Right near it is a wonderful place called Mofo, which is a combination of New Orleans flavors and Southeast Asian flavors. Really inventive, really creative. Great spot for lunch or dinner. Again, there's just so much right here. And if you drove, there's plenty of parking here. But if you didn't drive, you could take the streetcar. You could easily take a Lyft or an Uber or something like that. And you can spend as much or as little time as you like here. I've been recording, let's see, for 35 minutes. I have not made one full circle. And so that gives you an idea. I've stopped once or twice to catch my breath, but there's a lot, and I'm seeing adults walking, I'm seeing kids. I've seen a bunch of birds. They've just done such a good job. I think that City Park post-Katrina is better than it's ever been, and I grew up close to here and spent a lot of time in the park, and it's just as good as it's ever been. And again, I did two episodes, one about the history of the park and one about things to do. And so some of this is a little redundant, but so much has changed since I did that. I know it caught the dentist and the hygienist off guard, but if I could only do one thing, and again, under the guise of Beyond Bourbon Street, and assuming you've been to New Orleans before and you're looking for something a little different, which is probably true if you're listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast, this is one. It fits so many things. If it's different ages, if it's different experiences, you can do it most of the year. You wouldn't want to be out here on a rainy day, but other than that, it would be fine. You can get here by streetcar. You can turn it into wandering over to a festival. Right nearby is a festival grounds where they often have small to medium-sized festivals. If you've been to the Voodoo Fest, then you know where I am. I'm very close to that. But gosh, there's probably a dozen festivals on the grounds right near here. There's just so much here. And I think when I mention the sculpture garden, people just don't seem to think about it. And the other thing is it's free. You know, so much of New Orleans is free. But being able to spend a whole day here in the sculpture garden, or you can go get beignets for a couple dollars. When Sophia and I played putt-putt the other day, we played both courses. I think it was $23 for both of us to play 36 holes. So there's a lot to do here. The streetcar is $1.25 each way, where you can get a jazzy pass in various increments, 1 day, 3 day, 5 day, or a month. That allows you to hop on and hop off. So you can really make this as inexpensive as you want, or you could turn it into part of a more expensive day. But there's just so much to see and do here. That I just thought, gosh, when she asked me that question, you know, I could pick one place to eat or one museum, or it would be easy to say Mardi Gras or Jazz Fest if you've never done those things. But my mind kept coming to what's something you could do almost any time of the year and that would appeal to so many people with so many different interests. So if you're really into art, you could dig into the artist and the particular artwork. I'm thinking about my friend Joe Sweeney, who's a big fan of the show and is also a big fan of modern art. He would probably spend hours here. I think he has spent hours here, he and his wife. I'm more of a casual observer, and for me, it's the kind of the setting of this really modern art in a lot of cases, set against these old oak trees and this just sort of vibrancy and setting here in New Orleans. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope it has piqued your interest in coming to the sculpture garden. Think about ways to jump off from here and do different things. That's probably a good time to plug. I'll put pictures over in the show notes if I have time at beyondbourbonst.com/105. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at BeyondBourbonST. But if you want to plan the trip and you want to think about other things, join our Facebook group. And again, there'll be a link in the show notes. It's called the Beyond Bourbon Street Crew, K-R-E-W-E. And that is a wonderful community of more than 4,000 people who love New Orleans, many of whom live here or have moved here or have been here a bunch or are planning like a bucket list trip. That's a good one to go in and kind of flesh out even more your ideas and your thoughts of where you want to go and what you want to do when you come to City Park or the Sculpture Garden or New Orleans in general. So we have all the information over there. You can check it out again over at our website.
New episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you do.
Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.